B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG. It's Felger and Maz, 95 The Sports Hub.
From the Town Fair Tire Studio, Felger and Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub, simulcast NBC Sports Boston. Again, no need to adjust your radios, your Alexa speakers, or your televisions. It is Adam Jones, Jim Murray in for Mike and Tony this week, and really for most of the week. Marshall Hook is in as well, and over in my normal spot. What we opened up with today was the Patriots. I still think the Patriots are a hot topic considering the offseason and their lack of movement thus far. Well, they've made moves, but it's mostly with players. You still are like, huh? Bruce Ellington? Maurice, who? Harris? What? Huh?
You like him, though.
I think Maurice Harris actually could be okay. He could. I'm buying into this. I'm buying into the Pro Football Focus numbers on him and how reliable he is and sure-handed he is. Sure, he's slow, but he feels like a guy that would stick with this team. What the hell do I know? But the receiver depth as of right now is as follows. Julian Edelman, stud, we know that. Philip Dorsett, glad he's back in a one-year deal. Maurice Harris, I think he could be something. Bruce Ellington, stiff. Braxton Berrios, who was on IR last year. I don't know. You seem to be a believer. I know there was a couple of people that called in, Felger and Maz, even when I was on Saturdays. Like, this kid's going to be a stud.
He was, so I liked him a lot last year when he didn't miss a whole year. Like, now it's like he was a, whatever he was, a fifth-round, sixth-round pick, and now he's missed a whole year. I'm much more down on him now, but when they drafted him last year, I was like, oh, this might work.
But fits that mold of what they've brought in before, kind of like an Edelman type, a Welker type, so maybe that's him. And then over Damone Patterson. Josh Gordon remains suspended, but a lot of you still believe in him. Hook, you were on with Ted Johnson yesterday. You took 2 hours worth of phone calls of people that still believe in Josh Gordon.
Josh Gordon.
I don't know why, considering how unreliable he is. I'm a believer in second chances. Fourth, fifth, see you the hell later. But there is buzz building, seemingly, about the Patriots making a trade for a wide receiver, considering what else is left out there. You have Adam Schefter tweeting today. Oh, the Pats are also interested in Jordy Nelson, who's meeting with the Seahawks today. But buzz building about them making a trade. Bert Breer mentioned twice in his column in MMQB today that he has heard rumblings of the Patriots being interested in a trade. Tom Curran, NBC Sports Boston, also has a column up right now at NBCSports.com/Boston where you can read about that. And in fact, you know what? Let's do this because there's also a slideshow that goes with this. I hate that slideshow websites even or the stories even exist in 2019. They make me crazy. But let's do this just for fun because he's written about you know, some potential Patriots trade targets at wide receiver. Hook, Jones, you give me the yay or nay as we go through some.
Oh, good. Yeah, I like this game. See, I like a slideshow. I don't need to read too much. Just give me a big picture right in my face. That's all I need.
Nelson Agholor of the Eagles.
Ooh, you got to trade for him? I'd be in.
Yeah.
I don't hate him.
Okay, his price tag is part of the $38.5 million. The Eagles have committed to wide receivers, highest in the league. They just traded for DeSean Jackson. They have a deal with Alshon Jeffrey, so they could be looking to unburden themselves. Caught 126 regular season passes the past 2 years and was a killer in Super Bowl 52. Don't we remember?
Yeah.
I would move for him. I just what do you think you'd have to give up for him?
Mid-round pick?
No.
Like, is a fourth? Yeah, I mean, he's not going to get it done?
Yeah, I mean, look what they got for Antonio Brown, and compare that to you could do mid round.
Yeah, maybe I'm too high. I'd do a mid round pick for Agholor. I like Agholor.
Most importantly, the contract status: just under $10 million is what he's going to make in 2019, playing on his fifth year option. So he will be a free agent next year. So you have to keep that in mind too. Would you be willing to give
$10 million?
I mean, what's Bill Belichick going to do with a fifth round pick anyway?
It's divested into a couple of sevenths.
$10 million in today's NFL is apparently Adam Humphrey's money. I know that sounds like a lot of money, but yeah, I mean, I'm not worried. They're probably worried about the cap hit, but I personally would not be.
All right, we saw seem to be a yes on Agholor. How about A.J. Green of the Bengals?
Definitely.
I love him.
Okay, who goes to the pro? Is one of the league's elite receivers. Situation similar to Aguilar's, except this will cost more. His base salary in the final year of his five-year deal, $15.1 million. So this one, like, I think he's soft. But at 6'4", in terms of the athletic ability, like, I think he would be a good fit here, and I would like him, but I don't know. Like, that money seems crazy. I just don't know how the hell they can make it work, and I also think, again, that he's kind of soft.
Would you give up 32 for him? It sounds like you're a no on that.
I mean, yeah, I guess I would because it's so desperate at that position,
I'm a yes.
Get the stink of Bengaldom off him if you got him here. I worry about the softness with that guy. Tyler Boyd of the Bengals.
Yeah. I mean, again, he's better than what they have, but I'm not crazy about that. A caller brought him up earlier.
He's younger than a lot of these other targets, which I'm sure will come later down the list.
So. Let's move on to Josh Doctson of the Washington Redskins.
Definitely not.
Yeah, I think he stinks. Boy, he's been in the league that long. First rounder in 2016, due just short of $2 million this season, fifth-year option decision.
He's like the definition of like big, tall receiver who can't separate. Like he can't get away from, like all he can do is jump in the air and win contested balls. He can't separate, so no.
Yeah, it's funny how he writes here, Tom Karin, very good player at TCU with untapped pro potential. Con, he could be Arid Dobson or Brian Timms.
I'm out on him.
Jarius Wright of the Carolina Panthers.
Definitely out.
Yeah, man.
Wasn't he on? He was like a free agent, like in the middle of the season, he was a free agent, I want to say, last year.
Yeah, the pros here, really productive inside player, handful to deal with on third down, 43 catches for 447 career highs last year. Con, low cost, well-liked, valuable player for the Panthers, so while he's probably not untouchable, it would take some convincing to get it done.
Untouchable?
Wow, I can't even spit the word out.
It's because of the money and in terms of, I guess, you know, because he had a big year last year. It's just another small guy, 5'10", buck 90. Like, that's one of the things. If they're going to make a deal for a guy, like, as much as I'm not that hot on A.J. Green, you do need some size. Can we get over 6 feet?
Yeah, could you get someone better than Jarius Wright? If you're making a trade, get someone better than Jarius Wright.
I mean, I'm a hard no on this one, but I'll throw out the name anyway, and I think you will be too, Jones. How about Laquan Treadwell of the Vikings?
Oh, definitely not.
Stone hands.
Yeah.
He blows.
Also, again, big receiver who can't move, can't separate. So, no, definitely not.
Marshall?
Yeah, I don't care about him.
All right. Here's a name that should be familiar to some Patriots fans who wouldn't shut up about him a couple of preseasons ago. Austin Carr, now with the New Orleans Saints.
No.
Yeah, I'm a hard no.
Austin Carr? No. They cut him. No.
No.
Right. Moving on here. Emmanuel Sanders of the Broncos.
Ooh, yes.
Still productive. 71 catches, 868, 12 games last year. What was his injury? That was a bad injury last year. He breaks... Is it an Achilles?
Yeah, that actually sounds right. I don't remember, so maybe I shouldn't say that sounds right. But yeah, it was a scary injury. I would be in on Emmanuel
Sanders.
Yeah,
I would too. And that's a guy that they've had their eye on before. And then finally, Sterling Shepard of the
torn
New York
Achilles.
Giants. It was torn Achilles. Yeah, I knew it was something bad. And Sterling Shepard of the New York Giants, who I know that you would be on. I would be too.
Yeah, I think. Who wrote it? Was it Reese or was it Curran? One of those two floated the idea of a second rounder for Shepard, which
seems a little rich.
It does feel a little rich, but I do like him. And, you know, if you care about, you know, the local beat guys and draft guys, then a lot of people connected Shepard to New England in that draft.
His pros, as Tom writes here, really talented, sure-handed slot that has caught 190 passes in 3 seasons, 14 touchdowns. Some people, thought the Patriots should have drafted him as an Amendola Edelman understudy when he came out of Oklahoma. Right, because guys were talking about him at the time,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, he's a route runner. So, yeah. Like, he's so different than, like, the Treadwells and Doctsons, these big-bodied receivers. He's a route runner. Like, he's much more in the Edelman-Amendola mold than, like, one of those big outside guys.
And I feel like half those guys wouldn't be better than the street free agents that we were talking about earlier. Right? I mean, why would you give up a draft pick, even if it's a middle lower round one, when you can get, you know, seemingly the same sort of stuff from Randall or Jordy or whatever other Green Bay cast off is out there?
I like Randall Cobb, but he's taken a beating, and it's the same thing with Jordy Nelson too. And you mentioned earlier, and I think you're right too, like if you just glance at his stats, it's like, okay, he put like I think it was close to 800 yards or a little over 800 yards, 3 touchdowns last year in a terrible offense and a bad Raiders team, and Derek Carr seems to be going the other way, but a lot of it was just kind of like junk. It was junk towards the end of the season. They had nobody to throw, no one really else to throw to.
Yeah, but how many of those names on the list are definitively better than that? That's my question.
I think Sterling Shepard at this point.
Well, some of them are, definitely. Yeah. But there are
some of these
couple
other
in the middle that are just, no.
Oh, yeah, no. Josh Doctson, no. I would definitely take a broken or older Jordy Nelson or even Randall Cobb over him or Jarius Wright at this point.
Yeah, Nelson had three double-digit target games at the end of the year out of his final five. So, like, they just started peppering him with touches, and, like, he produced, but is he going to get 10, 11, 12 targets a game here? Like, no. I like the idea of Randall Cobb because I think Randall Cobb, as injured as he's been, and again, maybe he wouldn't work out and maybe he's lost it, I just wonder how much of him being ineffective or less effective the last couple of years is on Rodgers, which sounds weird to say because Rodgers is still really good, but he has turned into, like, Mr. Highlight. you know, he's turned into Mr. I'm going to scramble around. I'm going to extend this play. I'm going to roll out to my right and throw back left. And
oh,
you know,
definitely.
So that's not Cobb's skill set. You know, Cobb is, you know, get down the field, make a cut, you're open. He's not going to be Mr. on extend the play, put your hand up and chuck it to me. That's, you know, that's Devontae Adams. That's that, like,
Geronimo Allison or something.
Yeah, so I don't know that Cobb's skill set meshes with what Rodgers does now, but it does mesh really well with Brady. So I actually do like Randall Cobb. If they got him, I'd be on board with that move.
All right, so what do you guys think? Are any of these names that pop to you? Do you want A.J. Green? And more importantly, do you want to see the Patriots, or would you be willing to see the Patriots move their first pick, 32 overall, along with maybe something else for one of these big-name guys, even if they're in the last year of their deal, like an A.J. Green? 617-779-0985. Write your calls after this on Felger and Maz, 98.5 of Sports Hub.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Maz.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5,
the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
It's definitely my understanding. That was, that was something that, you know, I was, you know, weighing the options between both teams. And, you know, it was tough. You know, obviously they have a lot of success with, you know, guys, you know, similar to me. And, you know, obviously, you know, everything I've said to you guys today about why I chose here is true. And I'm excited to work with this team and, you know, hopefully propel them to some wins and a playoff run.
A handshake deal is a handshake deal, but nothing was official until you signed it. You could have changed your mind. Was there temptation? And what was your feeling about that?
Yeah, I mean, when I committed to Tennessee, I was, you know, obviously I'm a man of my word. I'm gonna keep my word there. But, you know, it's tough. It's a big decision. And, you know, it's a decision that, you know, will impact me for the rest of my life. So obviously took a lot of thought into that. You know, having family around me was good. But, you know, once I committed to Tennessee, I was really excited to be a Titan, and still am.
I still don't know if I respect that or I think he's a complete idiot. That is Adam Humphries, who is...
Can it be both?
Yeah, I think it can be both. The last honest man in America, which I respect. I mean, he made the handshake deal with the Titans and the Patriots to try to swoop in at the last minute and offer him more money. And, hey, you know, you also get to get the greatest quarterback of all time and Tom Brady throwing you passes rather than Marcus Mariota, who's made of glass, and now Ryan Tannehill, it's almost a guarantee he's going to start at least five games. But no, Humphries, with his voice cracking there at his press conference, Mr. Simpson, I made the handshake deal. I'm going to go to Tennessee. It's Felger and Maz, 98.5 Sports of Jim Murray and Adam Jones for the guys this week. So they miss out on Adam Humphries to the Patriots, and now it feels like there's buzz building about them having to trade for a wide receiver. Had this tweeted to me a couple of times. They took a call, Mike and Tony last week, to Jones, someone bringing up Dez Bryant. No on Dez Bryant. He was fat and out of shape and couldn't even make it through the first practice with New Orleans last year before he blew out his Achilles.
Last year, I would tolerate the Dez Bryant calls. I think he's,
yeah.
I think
he's, last year, sure.
I think he's done now.
Yeah. Now, no, yeah. No. But they got to do something. So whether that's A.J. Green or Sterling Shepard, Patriots feel like there's buzz building about them trading for a wide receiver. And would you be willing to see them trade their first round pick, the 32nd overall, in this coming year's draft for a player of that caliber? 617-779-0985. Of course, this sea-sucking computer is locked up on me, and it's not working. If we go to line one there, Jimmy, Rocco and Saugus.
Hey, guys, listen, I want to talk about A.J. Green, but first quick on Isaiah. Didn't he wanted to come back this season, and Danny said, no, we don't have like a room for you or space for you on the team? That's what I thought I heard this season, this offseason in free agency, that he wanted to come back. But back on A.J. Green, I wanted to ask this to Chris last week. How realistic do you think that trade could be? And do you really think the other GMs around the league want to work with the Patriots? I'm like, what? Like, why would I want to help you win another Super Bowl?
Well,
you know what I mean?
Like, they just made a trade. They literally just made a trade like a week ago for
Michael
Bennett.
Yeah, but that was like a bum player, though. But that was like a bum player, though. You know, I don't think Michael Bennett is that high compared to everybody. I think he's 33, 34 years old. I don't really see the upside of having Michael Bennett, to be quite honest.
Okay. I mean, we can talk about AJ Green.
Okay.
But we can agree to disagree on Bennett. They just made a trade.
Yeah,
so I think GMs are trading with Bill.
AJ Green is in his prime, though. Michael Bennett is in the tail end of his prime.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
If you can get more for AJ Green from the Patriots, I would imagine people would do deals with Bill.
Michael Bennett, by the way, like, even if you want to say he's 31, I believe. He's not as old as 32, 33, whatever he was just saying. But tail end of his career, he had 9 sacks last year. And in the last, I think, 3 or 4 years, he's got the most quarterback pressures behind Aaron Donald.
Yeah.
Like, he's one of the best pass rushers in the NFL.
And he's not bad against the run either. Like, he's not as good as Flowers against the run. And, like, obviously there's all kinds of considerations with him. How does he fit into your locker room? Will he be happy with what he's compensated? You know, things like that. But from a production standpoint, he's more productive than Flowers in a bunch of categories. So I honestly don't think that's a downgrade at all. Like, long-term, Trey Flowers at his age compared to Bennett, sure. But I don't think I don't think they drop off at all this year. Like, Bennett might be a better player here in New England. Not now that Trey Flowers is in Detroit. He'll probably fall off the face of the earth. But Bennett here might be more productive this year than Trey Flowers was last year. I'm not ruling that out.
Chuck in Lynn, what do you think about Sterling Shepard?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. What's up?
I think they should go get Sterling Shepard from the Giants. I think he's a good receiver. He's never had a quarterback like Tom Brady thrown to him. I think he's really put up good numbers in this offense.
Well, that's the guy, Jones, that you feel like that they should go get. And at most, that would cost. Have you seen some people speculate it's a second rounder?
I believe it was Reese who wrote a second rounder, which I forget where their second round pick is. 60-something was the idea. He said they could entice the Giants with a second round draft pick and then take the money they were going to invest in Humphreys and give Shepard an extension. So I don't know. If it's a second round pick, is that pricey? Yeah, of course that's pricey. But I don't know. He feels like someone who would be productive here, and maybe you could get him for even less, given how you said, with Golden Tate now in New York, maybe he's a little bit redundant. The Giants already aren't valuing people very highly on this team. Gettleman's kind of melting down there, so that feels like a good situation to try to capitalize on, and if you like the receiver, and I do like Sterling Shepard, that seems like a guy to go after.
We were poking fun at Dustin Pedroia, the little leader, trademark Adam Jones, who is not going to be ready for the beginning of the Red Sox season 10 days from now in Seattle. Shocker. Wayne and Grafton with a thought on that. Hey, Wayne.
Yeah, the two little engines that could. You got Petey and Isaiah. You know, both of them good players, but, you know, that both of them, I think, should retire with some class and don't be a pain in the ass. That'd be a good T-shirt for you. You know, I think so. But, you know, I mean, Petey, when you can be replaced by the Brock star, then you must know you suck. And Isaiah, sorry, Jones, I'm not a basketball fan. I hate basketball. But maybe the two of them ought to get together, have a guy's night out, watch some soft porn, and have some beers, and hope for the best. See what sticks to the wall.
Thanks, Wayne. That's about as clean as he can get. Eric in the car with a horrendous Patriots hypothetical. Go ahead, Eric.
Ooh. Oh, man, that guy's voice was awesome. I'm going to sound so grating next to that guy. Ooh. Also, you guys together are the best kind of evil. Jones is just like on a chain, just ready to just pounce on people. I just think if you're Humphreys, if Brady, dare I say, goes down, how unsexy are the paths after that? Like, you have Hoyer still? Who's even the backup right now? Like, what do you have? Like, you're going to become the number two option on a crap team, possibly, with Bill on the way out?
Oh, it's Brian Hoyer still, Eric. And what we were going through some of the cap numbers last week. I think it's like $3.5 million for Brian Hoyer, who sucks. And again, in his one playoff performance with the Houston Texans, had 5, count them, 5 turnovers. God awful, but whatever. Tom likes him, so he sticks around. You know, I hate that horrendous hypothetical. It just comes down to this. If Brady gets hurt, he goes down, they're screwed. They're screwed. I don't believe, like Mike does, that if they still had Brian Hoyer and Brady goes down, they win 10 games. You're nuts, because he's that bad.
Yeah, but and I agree with you on that. But Brady's age could be a factor in this. Like, I don't rule that out. Like, could somebody look at it and say, well, he's 42, and if he gets hurt or he retires, then now what am I doing? Now I'm in.
You
now.
Mean free agents you're talking about?
Yeah. Like, Humphreys is the situation he brought up. But I guess that's not insane to suggest. I mean, the Patriots just won the Super Bowl, and Brady was not great last year by any means. But, you know, he's shown that he can keep playing. So I don't know if anybody's looking at it that way, but I guess that wouldn't be an insane way to look at it.
I hadn't thought about that until right now.
The strange thing is, though, if you're worried about the quarterback, you might want to pick a better one to play with the Mariota, is maybe what I would say.
Right.
You know? So, or, like, all right, fine.
If you're Golden Tate more than Eli Manning.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So that seems inconsistent on their end. But if somebody wanted to factor in Brady's age and say, do I really want to play with Brian Hoyer in New England in a couple of years, I don't think that's unreasonable.
Yeah, I guess I really hadn't thought about that. But still, Brady is playing. I know it was compared to the MVP year or the year before, he dipped last year. But it's not like we're talking about Peyton Manning at the end where he's a noodle arm.
He has not fallen off that much, but he absolutely fell off last year. No question. They leaned on a running back for a reason.
Yeah. And I don't mind that approach of trying to run the ball more.
Me neither.
That's today's NFL. They're just copying what the college football has done here now for the last few years. They're getting lighter in the secondaries, so try to run the ball more, you focus on the offensive line.
Felger even admitted that, you know, it's all about the reason he wanted to keep Trey Flowers is because he's good in the run game, which means the run game matters. So once Felger threw in the towel on that argument, it was over.
But still, I like that approach. We can't act like Tom Brady's like cooked here towards any of these other greats at the end.
No.
So I don't know. But I wonder, though, in a guy like Humphrey's case, does he maybe look at it and say, like, well, not only am I honest and I made the handshake deal, like, how much time does this guy have left? Two years? And then what?
And again, if you're thinking that way, maybe shoot a little higher than Mariota. That would be my suggestion.
Mike and Peabody on Adam Humphreys. Go ahead, Mike.
No, this whole thing smells, let me tell you, almost as bad as like Doug Gabriel and Rafael Caldwell. This Humphreys thing, I mean, did they release the numbers on the AAVs yet, or?
I thought it was like 9 and change.
Yeah,
right?
it was.
But, I mean, he's going to make more money in New England. You're going to catch passes from Tom Brady and get coached under the best coach in the NFL, maybe of all time. This smells. It makes no sense. Why would you ever want to play with that crap bag Mariota?
Oh, Mike, I'm with you on this. Like, I don't know. Like, is that even a better situation? Nashville's fun, but just for like a weekend, you really want to keep going to all those bars and hearing that horrible bro country music? Only one or two of them actually have like, some like rockabilly stuff, but even that gets old. Like, Nashville's fun for a time. Then you get the hell out of Dodge. Like, I wouldn't want to live there. And again, think of that situation. It's maybe one of the worst stadiums in the NFL. If you went last year, you know, you're like, okay, this is like a boring mall. That place sucks.
I forgot you went
maybe
there.
Maybe you'd rather play for Vrabel than Belichick.
So I can see the upside of Mike Vrabel as a head coach, but no.
I mean, did you listen to Adam Humphreys?
Yeah.
Does he strike you as a guy that's really out there looking for a hardcore nightlife? He probably excited at the notion of living in Nashville.
Right, again, considering the honesty, he wouldn't go back on his word. Yeah, no. That's a guy that goes to bed at 9:30 every night. Probably won't even watch an R-rated movie.
Yeah, I mean, and also, so the Patriots offered him, you know, maybe $10 million a year. We've heard the AAV might have been higher, but, like, were the guarantees higher? You know, so like, were they offering him a bigger signing bonus? So, You know, the Patriots have a way of telling you they've made better deals to players, and, you know, that's not always the case. That tends to be misleading. So, I don't know. They definitely wanted him, but maybe he looked at it and said, look, I already agreed, and it's more guaranteed money or a bigger signing bonus or who knows what. More opportunity to catch passes. I'm not behind Julian Edelman on the depth chart. Like, I don't know, but I think there are reasons to argue Tennessee over New England.
Yeah, but overall, you know what? I've accepted it, and I've moved on, and I'm kind of happy that he's not here now. This is at least what I'm telling myself, because I don't want to deal with a guy that's that honest and turns a blind eye to that kind of shady behavior.
Did you like him as a player?
I'm not going to sit here and pretend to know all that much about him. I liked that he, you know, apparently was extremely productive from the slot, everything that you read about him. He just felt like he would be the perfect Patriot, right?
So,
he felt like one of these Edelman, Wes Welker-type clones. So, in theory, I thought that seemed like that was going to be a good fit.
So I didn't watch him by any stretch. I did not like the idea of him as a receiver, but the fact that they liked him and struck out is telling.
Yeah.
So I'll criticize him for that, but I'm not like upset at all that they didn't get Adam Humphreys. I'm upset that they wanted him and couldn't close. Not that they're lacking with Adam. I'd still be criticizing the crap out of the receiver depth chart if all they had done at this point is Humphreys. And that's light years ahead of what they've done.
617-779-0985 is the phone number if you want to join us. We have two open lines tonight. It's a big game for the Celtics, considering who they're playing. It's one of the best teams in the West in the Denver Nuggets, but it also marks the return of Isaiah Thomas, who we now know is going to get a video tribute tonight. Of course, they'll get the standing ovation, but from everybody, because we've heard from some people today that just really don't care, and they're happy that he's gone. How will you treat IT on his return if you're heading to the Garden tonight? Want to know? 617-779-0985. It is Filger and Maz with Jim Murray and Jones in for the guys. Marshall Hook as well, and he's going to get you caught up right now in the Sports Up headline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Mass.
Oh.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
He is a primary scorer at the point guard position, but he's a terrific passer.
Isaiah Thomas for three. Score it, and the foul. Isaiah Thomas comes back to Phoenix, and it's the biggest shot of the night.
That's a huge play towards winning a basketball game.
This is a blessing in disguise for me. My teammates are great, my coaching staff is great, and then the fans are unbelievable. It's they show total support no matter win or loss, and I'm happy with that, so I'm happy here in Boston.
It's Turner. There's Thomas. Thomas pulls up for three.
Makes another one!
Ooh, pancakes!
34! For Isaiah Thomas.
12 seconds to go. Evan Turner returns to Isaiah. Headed to the All-Star game now. He's headed to the rim. Falls away.
Boom!
And hits it to tie the game.
Ooh, no, big fella.
He's never going to be a star. I think it's a nice story this year. He is their best offensive option, and that's why he's getting the shots. But he is not a foundation player.
That guy is funny. He knows he's wrong.
Isaiah's one of the best 20 guys in the league now. It's incredible, but it's true. The guy's like Tiny Archibald.
They better bring out the Brinks, Chuck. they paying everybody else. I got to get something.
And the rebound for Isaiah. Running the floor. It's wow. The entry to Kelly Olynyk for the two-hand slam. Career high 14th assist for Isaiah Thomas without a turnover. Return to Isaiah. Deep three. Got it! 50 for Isaiah. 27 in the fourth quarter.
Not one man can guard me, and that's just the confidence I have. My coaching staff and my teammates put me in position to be successful. So no matter what other teams are doing, Brad figures it out and puts me in the position to be the best player I can be. And my teammates allow me to be that as well.
Isaiah, right hand, left hand, pulls up, free throw line, draws contact, and he hits the shot as he crashes to the floor. Scored, and the foul.
Superman is back. Come here, Lois. I got a sandwich for you. That was Pachana.
Today is my sister's birthday. She would have been 23 today. So the least I can do is go out there and play for her.
There was a point today where he was not feeling good at all, and I thought he was going to really have to gut this one out. And he not only guts it out, he ends up with 50.
I'm excited. Have game seven back in Boston in the Garden.
Isaiah gets the Kelly Olynyk screen. He is clear for a straightaway three that gives the Celtics a game seven lead.
Man, little fella, get in the house right now.
I'm a max guy, so I deserve the max. I mean, my time's coming. They know they got to bring the Brinks truck out.
It ended ugly. I think we can all admit that, but Isaiah Thomas did give you 2.5 memorable years here overall. Celtics fans. It's Felger and Maz, 98.5 of Sports Hub. It's Jim Murray and Jones in for the guys for most of the week. And IT returns tonight as a member of the Denver Nuggets, where he's, well, since been benched there because his whole career seemingly derailed since he left the Celtics. But he is going to get a video tribute tonight. First time out in the first quarter, so make sure you're in the building and not getting boozed up. And you should make sure you're in the building early anyway if you're going tonight, because it's a big game overall. Like, not to be lost in Isaiah coming back tonight. It's a big game for the Celtics in terms of who they're going up against, in terms of the competition, because they certainly played down to their last opponent, the Atlanta Hawks.
Yeah.
They squeaked out a win against on Saturday. But this Nuggets seems legit, and it's a good test for them. And considering how they've looked to me, at least how they looked on Thursday when they returned, and then taking into account the West Coast road trip, you want to see them continue to roll tonight.
Yeah, and you know, as we discussed earlier, there's maybe a little extra edge to them with Jamal Murray on the other side after that matchup. The building might have a little extra juice because of Isaiah in a weird way, like an opponent on the other side who's not even going to play may fire up the crowd a little bit more. It is a big game. You know, the Celtics just played their best game of the year a little over a week ago out at Golden State against a high-level team. You know, this Denver team is another high-level Western Conference team. So, yeah, I mean, maybe this is the kind of game where they reach back and they understand, hey, we can play with anyone in this league. They've beaten Milwaukee. They've beaten Toronto. They've beaten Golden State. So maybe this will be the latest reminder they can play with everyone. Unfortunately, they can also blow 25-point leads to the Hawks and get smoked by the Chicago Bulls and lose to the Magic twice, the Suns. So, like, they've proven they can play with anyone, but also, you know, lose to anyone.
Well, the other, one of the reasons I'm a little concerned about tonight is considering the bigs that you have in Denver and the rebounding woes of the Celtics, especially offensively. Like, I don't feel great about it.
No.
It feels to me like one of those games where they struggle against the Hawks, and then they go out and they, like, blow out the Nuggets. That's the kind of team that this has been this year. Like, everyone's ready for this one to be a loss, and they go out and they dominate, and then they'll go out and lose to Philadelphia, a team that they've had no problem right. with all year long.
Yeah, that's true. That'd be very them, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Smoke Denver. We're all getting on the bandwagon, and then they lose to Philly for the first time. Yeah, that would be very them, actually.
Marquise in Dorchester with an Isaiah thought. Go ahead, Marquise.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Just have a quick question. After hearing all those interviews by Isaiah, I was wondering if you guys think Isaiah's a better leader than Kyrie Irving. I'm going to hang up and let you guys talk about it.
That's a tough call.
Can I go with different kind of leader?
Yeah.
And that way completely avoid the question?
Well, but better doesn't make him good, by the way.
Right.
Like, being a better leader than Kyrie doesn't make you good at all.
I think the worst look for Isaiah Thomas, more than anything else, was when he first got to Cleveland and started, like, kind of, you know, gutting that team from inside.
Yeah.
You know, like, where it's like, dude, who do you think you are? Like, we know what you did with the Celtics, but it's LeBron's team. And as bitchy and petulant as LeBron can be, it's still LeBron James. And who the hell are you to act this way?
And I'll say this, because what would he learn from the West Coast flight is that if Kyrie wants to be a leader, he can do it. He can be successful at it. So I guess the answer is Kyrie's a better leader when he wants to be.
Yeah, I think I'd go Isaiah, because at least Isaiah...
There's a level of predictability there.
Yeah, there's consistency. That. And, and there's also just, like, he left it all out on the floor.
Yeah.
You know, like, Kyrie doesn't do that.
That's
Kyrie's
true.
Kyrie's
leading
way better,
examples got
way
Isaiah
better and
Thomas
way more talented.
Way
but, right, again, I think I would probably... I'd probably go with Isaiah in this scenario, but right. neither one is a good leader. I just think Isaiah is a little ahead in that race.
Talking with about the Patriots, and it feels like there's buzz building about them trading for a wide receiver. Your thoughts on that, Angelo and Everett? You're next here on Felgren Maz. Hey, Angelo.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good.
Hey.
Good. Look, about these top tier free agent receivers, I think personally, it's not about the money. I think it's about them failing in this system. Because we all know the Patriots have a unique system and an offense that runs through Brady, and I think they're probably there's a fear for it. They don't want to get cut, or they just want to go somewhere and collect the check, you know what I'm saying, instead of getting embarrassed in New England, because it's a high profile team. You know what I'm trying to say? It's just basically, I think the receivers are afraid to fail, and they go somewhere where they know there's not much to worry about.
Maybe you got the same tweet I did, that there's no income tax
In Tennessee. I didn't know about that.
Maybe. So again.
And Adam Humphries from South Carolina. It's easier for friends and family to come see him play, considering that he's a man of his word and stuck with a handshake deal. Obviously, that feels like that would matter to him. I know it wouldn't to me. I want to get that money and have the best opportunity to
right.
win.
Yeah,
and
I haven't.
My family can watch me on TV.
I haven't put pen to paper yet. I heard Hardy make this point earlier. Like, imagine if the shoe was on the other foot. Like the Patriots, they Josh McDaniels was basically the head coach of the Colts last year, and he backed out of it.
Right.
Josh McDaniels is probably in his ear like, do it, back out of it, do it. Come on, I've done it.
Dan in Pittsfield on the Patriots wide receiver needs. Go ahead, Dan.
Hey, guys. Jim, I was just curious whether you thought that A.J. Green would fit in the Patriots system.
He would fit. I just think that he's soft, Dan. That's my concern about him, and he's just been such an institutionalized Cincinnati Bengal. And then I read somewhere, too, that he wants to stay there. Like, what's that say about the guy?
Yeah, that's not great. I mean, you know, maybe that's just something he's saying.
No one wants to stay in Cincinnati.
Yeah, like, when you're there and they might give you a big deal, you don't want the whole fan base to turn on you, do you? So you say, yeah, I want to be here. I want to be a Bengal for life.
Oh, who cares if those monsters hate you? Please. And what, are they going to throw that gross skyline chili at you? God, no. What a horrible place. I couldn't get out of there fast enough if I was a professional athlete in Cincinnati.
Where'd the river catch on fire? There, or was that Cleveland?
No, that was Cleveland.
That's Cleveland?
Yeah. At least Cleveland has its own odd kind of charm.
Yeah.
I actually don't mind Cleveland. Cincinnati stinks.
The Cuyahoga in flames.
And not so sneaky racist. Trevor in Vermont, you are next here on Felgren Maz. Hey, Trevor.
Hey, guys. So, barring injury, A.J. Green is head and shoulders above the rest of all these receivers we're talking about.
He's
definitely. And what did he have? The plantar fasciitis or something?
Oh, I didn't even know he had that.
Yeah, that's actually that's scary. That is scary.
But if he was healthy, if he passed physical and he was all in for the Patriots, I don't care if we get half a season with him. He is he's transcendent. He's a good him with Brady, second half of the season coming back, maybe Josh Gordon, maybe, you know, Gronk. That's a game changer right there.
That's a lot of maybes in there. But
lot of maybes. No, look, in terms of the talent, he's right. And the height, yeah, A.J. Green, he's the most talented of any of these guys that they could trade for. Unless you could maybe call up the Atlanta Falcons and then, you know, change your mind about Julio Jones, who you thought, who was the who did he say was
Jonathan better? Baldwin, of course.
Jonathan Baldwin, better than Julio Jones in that draft. Yeah, so go get him.
The same.
Yeah, they're one and the same. But no, so him, that dude's a stud. And he has had some feet and ankle issues that have been kind of reoccurring, so that's a little bit scary, but... Of anyone else, like Julio Jones is who I would want, certainly over A.J. Green. That inherent softness, and he doesn't really fight through coverage, that's what scares me with Green. I don't know if he has a plantar fascia thing, too.
Yeah, that is scary, because
that's
a lingering kind of thing that only rest gets rid of, and even that. I would call A.J. Green without doing like an official list. I would say he's not in the top five for receivers, certainly, but he's probably in the top 10 for receivers in the league. And he has versatility inside and out. Is he soft? Sure. Has he been dinged up? Yeah. But I'd give it the first rounder for him.
We'll squeeze in one more here before the final word. We'll go to Billy in Lakeville. You'll be the final call here today on Felger and Mass today. Hey, Billy.
How you doing?
Good. What's up?
This is for Adam. Adam, I mean, if they sign Brown, right, they gonna set a precedent, right, for how much money they spend. Accordingly, right? Yes or no?
Who is he talking about? Who are you talking about? What receiver?
The offensive lineman, let go.
Oh, Trent Brown. Okay, sorry, I misunderstood. Yeah. Yep. So if they
sign him and they get everybody else, McCourty and all these other guys, how the heck they're going to explain themselves and how they're going to pay all this guy all this money when the rest of these guys are looking for money?
Yeah, why is that question directed to me? You're the Trent Brown guy.
No.
I don't follow.
I shouldn't have taken that call. It's what really came down
Jones,
to.
See, what happens on this show is that sometimes another person's take will get blamed on Murray.
I've heard that. Yeah. Yep. I've heard that.
Yeah. It happens quite often, actually. Okay, well, with that, we'll push away from the phone calls. We'll get to the final word coming up next here as we wrap up Felger and Maz with Murray and Jones in for the guys. Marshall Hook as well. That's next here on 98.5 of Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Hey, the final word's being brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Looking for the best deal on tires? There's only one place to go, Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
My name's Marshall Hook. That guy over there is Adam Jones, and he and I today discussed one of the problems that your defending world champion Red Sox may have, and that specifically their bullpen. Do we know who the closer is? Does anyone know who the closer is?
Brazzers has that gross infected toe that he can't get over. So
Matt Barnes today said garbage. He figured out halfway through his performance that he was tipping his pitches. But he fixed it midway
through. Does every guy on this team tip their pitches? Did he say that?
Yes. He said he made an adjustment.
That's so annoying. Why is that everybody's go-to excuse now? Do you ever know maybe you just get hit because you're Matt Barnes and you suck? Like maybe you weren't tipping pitches, or maybe you were just missing the strike zone because that's what you do. Like why every time a guy goes through a bad stretch on this team, they tip their pitches?
Yeah.
Like that's such a crappy built-in excuse. Either that or they need to figure it out with the pitching coach. Like, I mean, solve that problem. Everyone tips their pitches here.
The White Sox, the Rays, they have closers. The Red Sox, the defending World Series champion who won 100 and whatever games, we don't need a closer. We'll be fine. This is the Chad Fox bullpen. This is closer by committee.
Yeah.
And I understand that there's somebody out there going, "Duh, that's what you guys said last year. You said their bullpen sucked, and you were wrong then." Okay.
Yeah, and it did. And then somehow they caught lightning in a bottle, and the wheel of gutless bums who remained gutless weren't gutless in the postseason.
Let the record reflect that sentence wasn't over, Jimmy. There was a conclusion to that.
I have the WD-40 ready to go for the Wheel of Gutless Bums. I will tell you right now. Ready to add new names.
No.
We're ready to give it a spin.
You should. You shouldn't. Don't throw in the towel on that.
Never.
Jackie Bradley was MVP of the ALCS, and I will continue to fight Jackie Bradley people for years to come. Like, I'm not throwing in the towel on that. He got hot for like a week.
Quickly, what were you pissed about? He was making some comment about like some catch that he made.
He misplayed a ball in center field and then lucked out, stuck his glove up in the air, made a catch, and he called it, was it the most amazing play I've ever made in my career?
Which, had he not tripped, would have just been a run-of-the-mill,
would have been an inside the park home run.
Mid-deep fly ball to center field.
Oh,
but because
was,
he nearly fell down,
because he misread it,
he had to run to catch up to it.
The ball would have been right. If he didn't move, the ball would have been right to him. Yeah. That's how I used to play center field in softball. Yeah. I ran in on everything, and then I'm like, oh crap, there it goes. Like, that's how I used to play center field.
And this is when you were Fat Jones.
I was fat.
Jones was fat in college.
Fat. You know, I wouldn't say in shape, but, you know, more in shape. No matter what, I can't read a pop fly off the bat. Never been able to do it.
Because Fat Murray, guess what position he played? Where all the fat kids go. Catcher.
Oh, catcher. See, I was going to say first base.
It was catcher or first base. I wasn't even agile enough to play first base. It was just like, you just be the human wall.
Squat
fatty.
Down behind home plate and don't move.
It's like Goldberg and Net and the Mighty Ducks. Yeah.
Kristen Arcan coming up next. What's going on, Arcan?
Hey, Jimmy, just don't take this the wrong way. I could picture Fat Jimmy, but I couldn't picture Fat Jones.
Oh,
I just didn't think that concept was so weird to me.
He
showed me a picture, and I fell out of my chair.
Fat Jones
was a real guy.
Well, Fat Jones was a real thing.
He went to school with Tom Giles, NBC Sports Boston.
Correct,
he was the one that first mentioned him. I was like, Jones isn't fat. He's like, but he was. And then you tweeted a photo. I was like, oh, my God. It was unbelievable.
Yep. It was a thing.
What do you got going on? You leading into Celtics pregame?
Yes, we have 1 hour leading into Celtics pregame. Myself, Sean Silver. We'll talk a little bit about Isaiah making his big triumphant return and probably not playing in the game. And also, I feel like the race between Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum's gotten a lot closer lately, and I wonder maybe that'll affect things this offseason if Kyrie's mood stays, you know, high and they actually make a run for Anthony Davis. What will the Pelicans actually want back? Will they want everybody back? We'll get into that a little bit as well, leading you up until Celtics Nuggets.
Kristen Arcan and Sean Silver, I have you in just mere moments. You want to join the show? 617-779-0985. Jones, Hook, see you guys tomorrow.
All right.
Yes.
For Jimmy Stewart and Billy Lanny behind the glass as well. Thank you, fellas. Great job as always. And for you joining the show. Talk to you tomorrow at 2 p.m. here on Felger and Maz. Goodbye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.